Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, simulcast on 910 The Fan in Richmond, and that's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Check out the podcast, Best of AWOD Radio. It's available for you every day on your ride home. Odyssey app, Spotify, or iTunes. We just did our year in review for DC sports in 2024 and really all sports in general as well. And if you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. And Max took a call during the break, and Connor believes he has an idea to help the NBA and change the three-point rule. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very intrigued by this because I loved the NBA so much growing up, and this season in particular has been so frustrating, partially because the Wizards are awful and losing every game, but also because I turn on primetime games and I see no defense and a ton of threes. The Celtics shoot 50-plus threes a game. So, Connor, I'm begging you to have a good idea here. What's going on, man?
Hey, AWOD, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the fan.
All right, perfect. I think they could easily cap the amount of points per game that you can draw from the three-point line, call it 30. So even if you're lights out from the three, after a certain amount of time, that shot just becomes worth two.
Yeah.
I think you could also cap, this would be a little crazier, the number of attempts. So that way teams have to ration who's actually taking those high-value shots, because after they burn through a certain amount, behind the arc just becomes a two-point shot. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah. So I just don't think you could police that and still make it entertaining. I see what you're saying here, but I just think it goes against the game of basketball. As much as I don't like the three-point shot, if you burn them all in the first half and then all of a sudden you're down by three with 5 seconds left, but it's only worth 2 points, I don't like the idea of that. Max, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts on this new three-point rule idea? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067.
Yeah.
I don't hate the idea of capping it, but I just don't think you could do that.
It's impossible to police, I feel like. Cause
yeah.
It's changing
the game too much.
Yeah, imagine Steph Curry hits a three to make it 33 points on that, and then they have to stop the game. Like, just not count it or count it as two. It just feels unfeasible. Like, I understand you've scorers who are going to make it their job to do that, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know, it'd be really weird for like the broadcasters to have to explain this rule,
right,
like in the middle of the game. It would just take a lot of people out of it. I'm not really a fan,
but it also feels like, you know, we've moved past the point of no return, meaning that's the only idea that is worth really even discussing is ideas to change the amount of three-point shots, right? Because like I've said, you know, you let the toothpaste out of the tube, you're not putting it back in. Every team's going to start shooting 40-plus threes, right? Boston's shooting the most threes. They just won the damn NBA championship. It's a copycat league. It always has been. The Warriors started it. Now the Celtics are chucking up 50-plus threes a game here. And really, that's what I'm saying, Max, is there a solution to help the NBA that doesn't involve adjusting the three-point line?
Making the court bigger?
Right. I don't know.
That would be my only suggestion, because like giving these guys more space to work with.
Maybe make it smaller. The space is not the good idea here. I mean, especially with the way they play defense, you can get a guy, you can take a guy off the dribble anywhere around the court there. You know, I also think that maybe they eliminate the corner three-point shot, right, and just have that three-point line basically extend to the out-of-bounds line. So if you were desperate enough, you could kind of put your toe down right below, but just make it barely any room. Because guys, the way they hang out in that corner, it's unguardable, right? Because you kind of have to defend for the drive, and then when they drive, that corner is always open for somebody to kick it to you, right? And you know, you're going to get an open shot in the corner almost every single time if you keep moving the ball around. I don't know that there is an answer. All I know is that the NBA is not what it used to be, and you know, you even have Tyler Hansbrough coming out and saying that China is more physical than the NBA now, and maybe he's not wrong. Tyler Hansbrough used to battle down low with the best of them. And there's just that was my favorite type of NBA was the Shaquille O'Neal of the world backing you down and being a legit difference maker. I'm not sure there is an answer. If you got an answer, though, I want to hear from you. Let's go to Tim in Tawnytown. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Yes, hi, good morning. I think to make the NBA game better would be to raise the basket to 11 feet. There's no reason to keep the basket now at 10 feet. It would be more exciting at 10 feet. Make the inside play much more, aggressive and entertaining. And if you raise the basket to 11 feet and turn the three-point shot back to a two-point shot, I think the game would just be much better. Go back to the way it was, but it raised that basket 11 feet.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Tim, and I don't think it's a crazy idea. I just think it ruins the sport, right? I mean, what are you going to have kids growing up all play on an 11-foot basket now when they're 5 and 6 years old? I mean, or they play on an 8-foot, then they grow on a 9-foot and a 10-foot, and they got to change their shot.
You know, we got so many folks, though, that now can just slam dunk from most anywhere. And yeah. It makes, in my opinion, it makes the game boring.
No,
go back to making the inside game something to really appreciate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm definitely with you on making the inside game something to appreciate. I also think, Tim, good call. Appreciate you chiming in. I also think the reason people can dunk so easily is not just because it's 10 feet, but because you're allowed 3 and 4 steps now. The crab dribble, Euro step, the pro hop, whatever. They're not doing what I used to do when I watched basketball and they called travels left and right. You can literally pick the ball up from the three-point line and dunk it on people. And not just guys like Giannis who have long legs, just because the reffing of the NBA has been horrible. It's been horrible, and that's been like 10, 15 years in the making. I blame LeBron for that, but I'm also a LeBron hater. Let's go to John in Rockville. John, do you have a solution?
I don't know that it's a perfect solution, but what if you made it just instead of an arch, three-point zones? So it's kind of like the heating up zone, like from 2K years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the only time you can get 3 points is if you're in that zone.
Okay, so there'd be like 3 or 4 spots around the three-point line.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
scattered.
Right, and then you could defend that better, right, because you know, if he's in that three-point zone, he's going to shoot that.
Right, and I mean, for people like Steph Curry, I mean, they live in that three-point zone, fine, but you can also have a defender starting that.
Yeah. Look, John, let me ask you a question, all right? How big of a basketball fan are you?
I mean, I'm a fairly big basketball fan. I'm not sure that this idea would really work, but I don't know how you would limit – but I don't know how you limit threes anyway. It's just the new game. It's like in every sport, it's the evolution. I mean, listen, I think it's boring now because it's two passes and a shot, and that's all it is. It's no more people taking people the length of the court or whatever and posting up and things like that. It's just, hey, I'm going to get it into my side of the court and chuck it up.
Yeah. No, I think, look, we've talked about this throughout this segment that the only answer is to change something about the three-point line. You sound like a big enough fan that you know, John, the problem with your idea is that it's too gimmicky, right? That's the problem with it.
Oh, 100%. But I think that maybe it's not – maybe it's even – like I thought about pushing back, but then you lose the corner three.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do something because right now, I mean – Zach Edey, I mean, is a good example. I mean, he's what, 7-whatever, and he's shooting threes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even taking it in. So
we agree that the biggest issue right now is the amount of three-point shooting.
The amount of three-point shooting and the fact that you have all these players who used to be post players. I mean, not even playing in the post.
Like, yeah.
You have guards get out-rebounding centers now. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not pleasing to the eye when you watch and it's five guys around the outside and then they crash when there's a shot and it's a lot of times it's a brick and you got guys jumping up for a rebound and tipping it back out and then they shoot another three, right? Oh,
yeah.
We got the offensive rebound. Let's just shoot another one.
It's turning into the NFL. It's a lot of start, stop, start, stop, where before basketball used to be much more cohesive and fast-paced and moving. And now it's kind of a lot of, all right, stop, shoot, rebound, next team, dribble up, shoot, rebound. You know what I'm saying? It's just not... It's not fast-paced anymore.
Good call, John. Appreciate you chiming in.
Thank you.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I did want to say, like, I do think the three-point line is a big problem. I also think the regular season not mattering at all is a huge problem. I mean, two-thirds of the league gets into the postseason because of their dumb play-in tournament, the LeBron play-in tournament, the Steph Curry play-in tournament. You're 10 teams in from the conference, 20 out of 30 teams. Why should I watch a regular season game on a Tuesday night when it does not matter? Oh, but if there's a play-in, it's a cup game, Emirates Cup, I don't care. I don't care about the NBA until Christmas. And now the NFL won on Christmas in my mind, even though the game sucked. I was more interested in watching, you know, the lore of the NFL and hear about the playoff hunt and all that stuff than watching a boring NBA game. Let's go to Sean in Fredericksburg. Sean, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, so I'm 70 years old, and I'll remember a day when there was no three-point line, when the Wilt Chamberlains of the world could dominate. If we expanded, eliminated the three-point line, instead of trying to go ahead and work around it or have numbers and how many of this, and how many shots should they take, just expand the court, make the court bigger, and eliminate the whole three-point line. Your athletes are big enough and strong enough and fast enough anymore to go ahead and make the adaption.
Yeah. It seems like, Sean, everybody's got a similar idea of eliminating the three-point line, adjusting it, making it more difficult. Appreciate you chiming in. We'll take more of your phone calls after this quick commercial break. How do we fix hoops? I'm desperate to fix hoops. We got Commanders in a playoff hunt in a game Sunday. I'll give out my keys to victory and pathway to success. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond on 910 AM and always available on the GOAT, the free Odyssey app. We'll get back into the Commanders in a minute here against the Atlanta Falcons with my keys to victory and pathway to success. But the question right now is how to save hoops. Basketball's in a bad spot. The NBA game is boring. The ratings are down. College basketball's losing coaches left and right due to the NIL and transfer portal. And don't get me started on what's wrong with AAU games in this country. How do we save hoops? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. State your level of fandom. Do you watch every game? Primarily pro hoops. Who's your favorite team? When was your favorite part of the NBA? Was it the 90s, the 2000s? And then give me your idea and why it would work. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Also, Chris tweets me, AWOD. You slow the three-point shot by teams not paying mediocre guys like Corey Kispert crazy contacts. Reward the complete player. And definitely, the money is insane. Let's go to Tom in Fulton. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I spent an entire career, Bob Bowles has sent me to places to watch and observe and fix whatever's wrong, okay?
Yeah.
My solution is simple. Cut the shot clock down and cut it drastically. Cut it to 18, okay? And what that'll do is it'll speed the game up and it'll force the defense to get better.
I don't hate that idea,
that
Tom.
Will,
yeah?
That will work. It'll be more shot clock violations. And it'll slow the scoring down.
So do you, but Tom, would that, do you think that would lead to teams?
I love basketball.
Yeah, but Tom.
I grew up loving basketball. I wanted to be a pro ball player, if anything.
But does that, is that going to lead to teams just coming down the court and chucking up threes? Or, oh, the shot clock's about to expire. Let's kick it out and chuck up another three.
Well, it'll drop the scoring. Mm-hmm. Because the defense will get better. Yes, yeah. They'll throw up three, but they'll be throwing them up so quick, they're not going to make 40-some percent of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You follow me?
I am following you, Tom. I think it's a pretty good idea, man.
Thank you. It's the best one I've heard all morning.
Max, what do you think?
I'm listening to some of that nonsense.
Tom, we appreciate you chiming in.
Basketball.
Max, what do you think? Is this a good idea? Cut the shot clock to 18?
I told Tom when he said this to me, I was like, I really think this is a great idea. It's going to speed things up. Like he said, guys are going to be forced to play defense. And that's the other thing. Guys aren't going to be playing defense for as long, so it's going to be less exhausting.
Yeah.
So I think those 6 seconds will compound over throughout the game and hopefully preserve guys a little bit.
Did you feel like the speed was an issue in the NBA game right now?
See, that's the thing.
I don't think speed's the issue as much as the three-point and no defense. But if you bring a shot clock down to 18, maybe even 16, you could increase the level of defense. I hear what he's saying, and I do think if you're asking me to sprint my ass off for 18 seconds versus 24 seconds, I'm going to take 18 every day. Right? Oh, yeah. So the defense should, in large part, improve.
Yeah, I'm very pro this idea. I think we should give it a shot.
Yeah, Tom, I'm Adam Epstein, not Adam Silver, but that's who you're looking for. Let's go to Matt in Manassas. Matt, you're on the Fan.
Hey, so here comes some more nonsense for you.
Wait, did you, hold on, did you like his idea? Let's be honest. Did Tom have a good idea?
No, because you're speeding up, so you're going to have more shots. They're going to be running more back and forth, and it's going to tire them out quicker.
Yeah.
My idea is you could do it inversely, is have a designated defensive player. So either out of the only four on offense going down and keep one back, or you add an extra player. Because, look, the reason why I like college ball is because they hustle, right?
Yeah.
You know, they play defense. Well, that's why I stopped watching the NBA in the 90s, was no one was playing defense anymore. Hmm. You know, you get the one team like the Seattle Supersonics that played it, defense here and there. But, you know, just like baseball did with a designated hitter, you know, you can make adjustments to the game to make it better.
Yeah.
And
they need to come up with something, Matt. I appreciate you chiming in. I don't know that it's adding an extra player, but maybe if you make the court smaller, you could have better. They need better rim protection. That's certainly a big thing. Good call, Matt. Let's go to Jamie in Maryland. Line one, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I wanted to say, I think we need to go back to some of the old school in the 80s. We need to bring back the hand check.
Yeah.
Because the athletes are faster, so it's hard to keep up with them if you can't touch them. And bring back the big man by letting him put back the forearm back in the back again, make it hard on him.
Yeah.
And also the zone defense they implemented in 2001. I mean, go back to playing man defense, and you're not going to see everyone wide open just gunning threes, because you got to work hard. I mean, back in the day, you had to run all over the court just to get open, and make it more exciting for the defensive side as well, and put the shot clock back to 24 seconds. And I think it'd be a lot better basketball.
I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. It's been a fun topic, and I'm certainly looking for solutions. I want reasons to watch NBA basketball again. And Christmas was eye-opening for me, because there was, five good matchups? I wake up the next morning, I'm seeing the highlights, LeBron against Steph, you know, Austin Reeves' game-winning shot. I had no interest in watching, and that pained me. And obviously, you know, there's so much going on during Christmas, you're with your family, and it's the holidays. But I was interested in the NFL. I was interested in the NFL. I had no interest in the NBA. How do we save hoops? We got a quick commercial break here. We'll be back with more on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on 910 The Fan in Richmond. And you could always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. And I got a tweet here that does make sense. It says, AWOD, I mainly watch the NFL, college football, and college basketball with some NHL, World Cup soccer, and MLB playoffs. I have no desire to watch the NBA. And this week is about the NFL and the college football playoffs. And that's so true. And to be honest with you guys, I'm mad at myself for not spending a whole segment talking about the college football playoffs and breaking down the four games that will be played, one on December 31st and four on New Year's Day. But it hit me on Christmas when I had no interest in watching the NBA. How do we fix hoops? Bob tweets me, AWOD, the NHL playoffs early 80s went up to 16 teams. It was a disaster. Division rivalries became irrelevant. Regular season, almost pointless. I do see what he's saying there, and I think you're seeing the same thing in the NBA with 20 of the 30 teams getting into the postseason now. And, you know, this is the biggest issue for the NBA, is 20 teams get into the postseason. Two or three of those teams don't want to be there. They'd rather be tanking and getting a top draft pick in the lottery. So you got 20 out of 30 teams in the postseason. Only about 16 to 18 really want to be there and feel like they're contenders. Two or three just got in because you looped them in because, oh, they were the 10th best team in a 15-team conference. Make that make sense. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. We've got Pim in Richmond. You're on the Fan with AWOD.
Yeah, I don't know if they talked about it. Have they talked about limiting the number of three-point shots that can be taken?
No.
I mean, even
it hasn't been discussed yet, but Adam Silver is supposedly looking into the three-point issue.
Because you could actually, you know, have, for example, four per quarter, so that's 16. If you don't take four, you could roll it over to the next. But bottom line is you can only take so many. I mean, they limit the number of fouls, the number of timeouts you can have.
Yeah.
I mean, that way, I mean, I think it would involve some strategy as to how you would use them. You know, if you put a limit on that, then you actually have to coach and plan as to when and what may be the best time to utilize that limit. Because
yeah.
The bottom line is, who has any interest in watching them run up and down half of the court because they're taking the shot before the defenders can even get back?
Right.
I mean, I'm only interested in watching the NBA now, and I used to love it, but I'm only interested in watching it now when it comes down almost to the finals.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's really, you know, you got a 20-point lead, you turn the television to an NFL game or college or something like that, and the 20-point lead, you 5 minutes later, it's down to 10.
Right.
And then it's changed. So I don't understand why it's not obvious that nobody wants to watch something that seems to only matter in the end. And even then, during the regular season, it doesn't matter in the end because you have a 25-point lead and turn back, go to a commercial and come back.
Yeah.
And it's tied.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I really appreciate you chiming in, and I like your idea for sure. I mean, if we're limiting the amount of fouls, right, six fouls per player, why not limit the amount of three-point shots per team? I really don't hate that because you've got to do something, and part of this is a product of we've become too good at this game. You know, you've got high schoolers now. Caitlin Clark shooting from the logo. Left and right, you got people shooting deep threes, and they work on it all day long. It's all they practice. You know, I talk with the VCU coaches all the time, and the number one thing that frustrates the coaching staff and any coach in college basketball and probably the NBA is when players take a shot that they don't practice. But what are the shots they're not practicing now? Mid-range, fadeaways, runners, off the dribble, around the screen. What's the shot they're shooting in practice? Three-point shots. That's the shot they feel most comfortable with. That's the shot they take in the game. Let's go to Sam in Maryland. Sam, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, so wanted to say a couple things. One, the clock thing, 18 seconds, stupid, would never work. But also, I think you just compared Caitlin Clark to a high school player, maybe?
Well,
maybe you didn't mean to, but that's pretty insulting. And secondly, don't get into the NBA because it's not worth it. You should probably watch the WNBA where real basketball is being played.
I've watched the WNBA. I don't hate the WNBA at all, and I wasn't taking a shot at Caitlin
Clark.
No, I
didn't say you hate them. I just said you should give up on the NBA because it's never going to change because, as the guy said before, they've gotten too good. Maybe remove the three-point line. That might help.
Okay, but we're looking for solutions here, and the answer is not just to tune into the WNBA.
Caitlin Clark to a high school basketball player?
I'm not comparing her to anything. I'm saying she's part of the trend here that she's doing nothing but logo threes.
You said high school basketball player, and then you said Caitlin Clark. Just so you know, that does sound insulting.
Okay. All right. I'm not insulting Caitlin Clark. She's a great athlete.
Good.
All right? She's on the cover of Time magazine for a reason. All right? She's great.
Right. Exactly. I'm aware. I just wanted to make sure you knew how you sounded.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you chiming in. It has nothing to do with Caitlin Clark. The discussion's in the NBA, not the WNBA. We can have that discussion on 1580 AM. Here on 106.7 The Fan, where we're talking about the NBA, let's get back into the Washington Commanders and what it's going to take for them to beat the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday with my keys to victory and pathway to success here. So, look, last week doesn't mean anything if you drop this game to the Atlanta Falcons. You're one of the hottest teams in the league. You just knocked off what people said was the top team in the NFC in power rankings in the Philadelphia Eagles, but you got to completely wipe the slate clean. That means nothing if you lose this game. And so what do the Commanders have to do? Well, it's all about building off the momentum of that last game. When you score 22 points in the fourth quarter to erase a huge deficit because you gave up 21 points from the Eagles in the first quarter. And so the key to victory number one is to get off to a fast start. You've got to get off to a fast start. And so that looks like what I called for against the Eagles. The first drive of the game, points on the board. Points on the board, 3 points or seven. Go for it on fourth down again. They went for it on fourth and one against the Eagles. They missed it. They went right back to it. Went for it on fourth and five and then fourth and 11. They played aggressive. They played to win. They tried to get off to a fast start. That's the key to victory number one again here against the Atlanta Falcons. Number two, all right, we've got to win the battle of the Robinsons. Bijan Robinson, Brian Robinson Jr. Look, I've been talking about the quarterback matchup, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and Michael Penix had a good game against the Giants. Jaden Daniels has had way more experience. There's a reason he's, what, 10-time Rookie of the Week this year in the NFL in just his rookie season. He's got to use his experience to help him. And obviously, he's got to get better protection from the offensive line. But I do think that Jaden will be able to out-duel Michael Penix. But will Brian Robinson be able to outduel Bijan Robinson? Winning the Battle of the Robinsons is the second key to victory. Third key to victory. So many times in the National Football League, it comes down to third down conversions, red zone, and the turnover battle. And it's just crazy that we beat the Eagles with five turnovers, but yet Frankie Louvu had an interception. That was huge. Kind of flipped the momentum a little bit. But I just think Washington's a better team than the Atlanta Falcons, which means unless they lose the turnover battle, they should be able to win this game. Third key to victory is the turnover battle. Pathway to success. Look, Washington can win this game if they control the line of scrimmage, which would help them control the time of possession, convert your third downs. I like our chances third and five, 4-3-2-1. I hate it third and long situations. You need Jaden to be Superman, but don't ask him to put his cape on for more than just two or three plays a game. That's what I think makes him so good, is he doesn't take off and run every single snap, right? Fourth and 11, he took off and ran, and that was the first time that drive that he had used his legs to gain an advantage. When Jaden uses his legs, it's basically 12 on 11 in the NFL. He's got to be the better quarterback. Their defense needs to make Michael Penix look like a rookie, and we got to win the turnover battle. I do think that defensively, the most important thing is the pass rush to get home. No Lattimore means more St. Juice. St. Estone more one-on-one. Look, we cannot trust those guys to go one-on-one on the outside. Our secondary could be a big issue if Michael Penix has time in the pocket. I expect the Commanders to send five, send six, send Louvu, send Wagner, send Farrell, send them all. Send an extra guy because, once again, you're playing against a rookie quarterback. I know he's an exciting rookie and he had a good week, but I think the game plan is simple every week when you're playing against a rookie in the NFL. You send extra pressure. You send them blitzes that they maybe haven't seen before. You know, zone pressure with an extra guy underneath. Simple things that Todd Bowles would do against Jaden Daniels week one, we need to do week 17 against Michael Penix. Appreciate Max for running the ones and twos. It's been a ton of fun back with you here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, live on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, live in Richmond on 910 AM 105.1 FM. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Go Commanders, go. I'll catch you next Saturday on The Fan.